Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin live today. Vanderbilt Legends Club, Brent Peterson's golf tournament. Petey for Parkinson's had the dinner last night. A lot of the Predators out here today. And, you know, good to see. I think the cool part for me about that last night was that Barry Trotz was back. And, you know, obviously he and Brent have quite the history together, go way back. And so good to have the band back together.
Yes.
In that way. But taking your reaction, the Titans lose 16-15 to the New Orleans Saints in the opener, and it is a overreaction Monday for sure.
That's
and there's
good.
And look, there is a lot of fair things to overreact to when it comes to the Tennessee Titans and their performance yesterday at the Superdome. And it starts with Ryan Tannehill. Three interceptions, three bad interceptions. I mean, there were some that you look at those throws, and he could have had five interceptions overall, because he made some other terrible throws that were dropped.
Yeah, there was some even Jason McCourty's like, why are you throwing the ball? There's like three Saints defenders
right
around and one Titan receiver, and then, you know, one was the pass interference down the field. And I kind of get people like, well, that wasn't really his fault. Okay, but still it's interception at the end of the day. But some of those were just bad. And his arm didn't, like, the zip wasn't there. It just, I don't know, some things that just looked off. And the discussion today is going to be, should he have played in the preseason?
I was going to ask you that. Do you think that factors in?
They had two joint practices versus the Vikings. Well, just one, I guess.
Yeah, they didn't have the Patriots.
Yeah, the
one.
Vikings, where I watch a lot of that, the video from up there, and he was up there. So there's a lot that you get, but I don't know if that, you know, what Mahomes played a little bit in the pre. I don't know. It looked bad, Chase, and the interceptions are bad. It just looked woefully unprepared, and he looked nervous, and if he's nervous because the offensive line is garbage, well, that's going to be a long year for Tannehill and the Titans.
Well, he won't play the whole season. I mean, if he's nervous and the offensive line doesn't get any better, he won't play the whole season.
So who comes in?
It'll be either Malik Willis or Will Levis.
I get that, but who comes in? That's the question now. If they start at 0-4 and you know this team's not going anywhere, you bench him.
Well, here's – Junie and I were having this discussion during a break.
Thanks for asking.
Here's what – here, well, you were – off signing autographs
and
or
eating.
Something and
okay.
eating. But here's what I – if you're going to look at it from this perspective, if they start off 0-4, and I think even if they start 0-4, they'll stick with Tannehill. I think the point of demarcation is London.
Look at you.
When they go to London.
You're watching History Channel?
A little. Trying to
nice.
Expand my, you know.
Nice.
Expand my horizons a little bit. But – I look at London because that's right before the bye, that if they're, you know, 0-6 or 1-5 or what have you at that point, that's when they make the move. And I think it gives you the opportunity to decide at that point, okay, do you think you can salvage something, which you probably can't at that point, by going to what I believe would be Will Levis, because you've drafted him to be the quarterback of the future, or even if it's Malik Willis. You've pretty much decided that this season is done. You're throwing in the towel. If that's the case, then that's when I'm Rand Carthon and I'm making phone calls going, hey, what could I get for Derrick Henry? What could I get for
really?
Kevin Byard?
Mid-season? What?
Yeah. I mean, you're done at that point. So start building up draft capital because you don't have a lot of that for next year. And no, you're not going to get a whole lot for one of those guys. And again, this is why this is an overreaction Monday. It's
right.
One loss, and we're, you know, I'm talking about trading Derrick Henry. But
so you say coming back from London, 0-5, fire sale.
Yes.
Okay. I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's
like, you know, I'll equate it to, you know, last year with the Predators. They got to a point where they realized, like, yeah, we might be able to scratch and claw with what we got and make the playoffs, but it's probably going to be the same result that we've had the last few years. And they went through a fire sale. They got a lot of draft assets, and they still almost made the playoffs.
Yeah.
But they still got that draft capital that they could use.
Right.
And they're investing it now to, you know, build for the future.
Yeah.
I think the Titans are going to – it could come to that point.
Well, okay, so you go 0-5. Look at us. We're hypotheticals. 0-5, you got the –
I don't believe in hypotheticals, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Talk it when it happens. So you got the Falcons coming in. You're 0-5. All right. So the question is, Chaser, do you start Levis or do you start Malik Willis?
Well, if Levis is your future, then you start Levis.
Absolutely. That's the bottom line. And do you think they would consult Amy Adams Strunk on that? They'll say no.
I don't. I don't.
But
think
it's her football.
Here's
team.
The thing. I don't think they'll have a choice.
Look at you.
I think there's more her father in her than people might think. And that he's, you know, Bud always had to know what was going on.
Well, sure.
And Floyd, yeah. Floyd told some stories about that. Some I can't tell on the air, but Floyd told some stories about having to deal with Bud.
Well, I mean, you're the owner. Might as well.
Right. I mean, look, whether we agree with it or not, like, you know, my thing would be, you know, yes, you're the owner.
Right.
Let the football people do the football things.
Can I tell you a funny story? You might have been there. I know it was 2010 or 11 when Fisher were there. Bud had the press conference. He was in Houston, didn't fly up for the press conference, and they had him on speakerphone. So one of the Titans PR went down there, and they said, Mr. Adams, you there? He's like, yeah, I'm here. And then for some reason, the Titans PR walked out of the conference room because we're about 10 minutes, whatever, and then Bud starts rambling on the speakerphone. To see the Titans PR come sprinting back in the auditorium and run down and basically unplug the phone because Bud was – and I was in tears. We were all just giggling, laughing, and I think Paul Kuharski had something like, why would you leave an owner who's obviously up there in age at the time?
And he's Bud Adams.
And he's Bud Adams. Why would you leave that phone not on mute? I mean, why would you walk away from that? But I'd never seen. If we could get the Titans PR to run a 40 that time, it's about a 3.7 to do that, to go down there. But, I'm with you. And I think that you have to take some vested interest in this. But if Levis is the future, and in the back of their mind, that stadium and the PR, I mean, it's all a business, man. Don't let them tell you it's not.
No.
And I think if 0-5, then I think you see, you know, they weren't afraid to pull the strings on Mariota in 2019 when he had the worst game of a quarterback I'd ever seen when they played the Broncos. Tannehill almost matched that yesterday.
Yeah.
That's how bad Tannehill was because Mariota was awful in that game. Still can't throw a pass. And I see that's – man, this scenario of 0-5, woo. But you know what? Beat the Chargers on Sunday, you're 1-1.
Well, and the thing, too, is, like, there were times where, you know, you hear the phrase seeing ghosts, that I felt like he was seeing ghosts. And I don't know if that was just because the offensive line was giving him no time and the pocket. I mean, you could watch the pocket like a balloon just deflate, like, immediately, as soon as they snapped the ball. When they brought any sort of rush, the Saints, then that pocket just collapsed. And so he was, you know, I think trying to make a play. But you mentioned the arm. Like, they hit that flea flicker. It's a different game.
It is.
I mean, because he's wide. Oh, it worked to perfection. The only thing that didn't work was Tannehill couldn't get the ball to him.
Oh, it looked bad. 615-737-1025 on the text line. David, we got to read. I like this. I watched it. I paused it. I went back and watched it again at home because I thought Jeffrey Simmons had broken that guy's neck. Any thoughts on Big Jeff basically attempting to double punch a guy's head off towards the sideline? I understand it wasn't a quarterback in the pocket, but, man, that was wild. Thank you, David, on the text line. Do you remember that play when the running back was trying to slide? Remember he was late in the game? He was trying to stay in bounds?
Yeah.
And Jeffrey Simmons ran over there and, like, was trying to push him out of bounds, but hit his neck. I thought he snapped his neck in half.
Yeah.
And he went flying out of bounds.
I thought, yeah, I remember that. I don't think I saw it quite. You know, it's not as clear as
because you had friends and you were asked to go to a bar, and I'm sitting on my couch with no friends watching that back and forth.
Well, you have friends. You have me.
Okay.
You have Ricky.
Thank you. Junie.
You have the Immaculate Grid.
But we'll talk about that later in the week. That's fantastic. But, no, Simmons tried to shove him out of bounds. Great play. I mean, you got this guy, Jeffrey Simmons, giving every ounce that he had yesterday on that defensive line, going all the way down the field to the sideline to shove that guy out of bounds and almost snap his neck in the process. That's the effort that you need to see.
We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton at the bottom of the hour more about the Titans. We'll continue to take your calls and texts. But coming up next, I have a quick thought on college football, on the weekend of college football that we will discuss next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, live today, Vanderbilt Legends Club. Brent Peterson Golf Tournament. Obviously, full reaction to the Titans' loss yesterday, but I wanted to take a moment to react to college football because how would you describe this weekend? Like, I've seen
fun,
weird, drunk weekends in college football. This wasn't quite to that level because, like, Texas beating Alabama doesn't surprise me.
No.
You know, I thought they had revenge.
A little bit.
But they had revenge on their mind. You knew they'd be ready to play. Alabama just looks, I don't know. It doesn't look like it's there yet.
And it's a feeling, too. It's kind of a vibe that, you know, when I was down there last week, Middle played really good against Alabama. Mm-hmm. I know Alabama won 56-7. I understand that, but there were a lot of plays in the game that, you know, had gone Middle's way. It was a close game, but that doesn't surprise me at all. You know what surprised me, though, is the Vols score with Austin Peay.
That's what I was going to get to.
So
Austin Peay gave them a game. Like, Austin Peay had their opportunities to win that game.
I don't think it's fair for people to say, well, Tennessee's looking ahead to Florida. I don't think that's fair. I think Austin Peay's a good football team, played their tails off, had a great game plan for Tennessee, which I think Florida should steal. And they didn't, I don't know, it's Austin Peay, and I can see Tennessee, but still, that was not, it was not the game I thought it would be.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, we heard from a certain someone that had called into the show and called his shot on Austin Peay, and that was Sean Henry.
Yep.
And so he was texting us because, you know, now it's like there's a long way to go when he was texting us. But
does he have anything better to do?
No. I guess not.
I know Sean Henry's got some friends, right? I mean, I don't have any. You've got a couple, but I think he was the mover and the shaker he is. But, all right, we'll take it, though. But yeah. In the Vanderbilt game, delayed again by weather.
I know. And Vanderbilt did not look good.
No, and they didn't. And they battled, and, you know, they tried to get as much as they could coming up. They got to go to Vegas this weekend, take on UNLV. So
yeah, I mean, I
– that's a game you got to win. You go
3-1.
You got to
win that one, yeah.
To get to the bowl
I'm not
going to
say should. I'm going to say could. I don't know. I mean, Vanderbilt is really hard to read right now after their first three games. I mean, you see some good, but then you see a lot of inconsistencies.
You're going to make Willie mad, so be careful.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
And I got to talk about the Blue Raiders.
They look, hey, man, Missouri. I wanted them to pull that out so bad.
That was a game that Missouri was kept trying to get away. The Blue Raiders kept, hey, what's going on here? Kept just kind of knocking on the door and had the chance to win there, and there was a – oh, let's say, I can say it now. There was a pass interference in the game, late in the game, which was a really bad call in favor of Missouri that stopped it. Because I think Middle could have gone down and scored a touchdown and win that game. It was very, very disappointing, that call. And Middle played their tails off. They're back home Saturday against Murray State down at Floyd Stadium. But, yeah, it could have been a good night for them. But overall, it was another fun college football weekend.
The new AP Top 25 came out. Texas moves up 6 spots to 4th. USC, Florida State moved up a couple of spots. They're in the top 3 now. But USC in 5th. Ohio State drops 2 spots to 6th. Tennessee dropped out of the top 10. They're now 11th. And Alabama drops all the way to 10th.
Yeah, and so a lot of Tennessee fans were not happy. And, you know, rightfully so, that Bama, I knew Bama would stay in the top 10. You just knew they would. What's shocking to me, though, is that they're keeping – what's Colorado now, 18th?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
And then now, I always like to compare the AP and the coaches poll because
– look at the – where are they where in the
– yeah. where
are
they? The coaches think? Yeah, because Colorado is 21st in the coaches poll.
Yeah. You just know that. But what did Spurrier say a long time ago? He was like, I don't even vote on that. One of my GAs getting votes. And I don't – because, you know, the coaches don't see other teams for the most part. So, but seeing Colorado at 18th. Now, Corso blabbed out on Saturday that College Game Day is going to go see Colorado State. If so, that's the first time I can remember that Game Day has gone to a place where neither team, where only one team is ranked.
Right.
There might have been others, but Colorado plays Oregon next week in Oregon.
That's a big game.
Do you wait to go to that one? Or do you hop on the
train
now?
I think Big Noon kickoff's already going to that. Because Fox is, you know, going to carry, like, all their games, essentially.
Right.
Like, we're never going to see – we're only going to see Colorado. It's the Fox Colorado Network or something
it's
like
that.
Dion.
Right. It's good to see Michael Irvin, Colorado Buff fan. Where was he last year? Year before that, all that. Hopping on the bandwagon, it goes on. But
look, I'm going to leave my comments on Michael Irvin. Just I don't know about him. But
I like what Deion's doing for college football. You can love him or hate him. I don't care. But those kids love him. And he's playing the NIL game like every other college coach is doing, which is fine. And got Colorado 2-0, and they win this week and play Colorado State. They go – by the way, Colorado State comes to Murfreesboro next weekend. So, you know, you go out 3-0, you go beat Oregon, you make things happen. Good for him, you know.
Yeah, and like, here's the thing. People want to complain about him and what he's doing and his style and everything. If I don't fault him at all. I mean, you can disagree with it all you want. He's playing – the rules are the rules. So, he's – this is the wild, wild west that we it have is. In college football right now, and he's taking advantage of it. And so, you know, if I'm any of these coaches that don't like it, then okay, then do something about it. Then, you know, stop worrying about getting Congress involved. And,
right.
You know, you if Nick Saban really wanted to get something done in college football, he could get it done.
Yeah.
Kirby Smart, you know, these guys, there's guys that have that kind of pull that if they really wanted to see change, they could get it done.
Yep.
So stop, you know, complaining and moaning.
I totally agree with you. And so who's Georgia got this week? Another team that they're a 75-point favorite.
They're playing FRA, I think. no, South Carolina. So
I try. It's a CBS game.
Yeah. So they're playing –
the game's in Athens.
So I thought CBS didn't have the SEC anymore.
I don't know what's going on. They got one more year, I think.
No, I thought it was this year was the Big Ten and moved in.
I think the Big Ten is next year, I think.
No, SEC it's this year.
It's this year,
it's
yeah.
this year?
Yeah, because yeah. Indiana and Ohio State played week one on CBS, and it was just odd.
Well, so what's the deal then? Why has CBS got Georgia, South Carolina?
Great question, Joe.
That's a great question.
I might just call their offices for you today. Let's just do that.
Can you do that? That would actually be really helpful.
Might as well.
Yeah, so Georgia has South Carolina this weekend, then they're UAB, then they're at Auburn.
Oh, they play UAB? Yeah. Hope they beat Dilfer 175,000 to nothing. I do. I hope they beat Dilfer.
Don't like Trent Dilfer?
No, not a fan. I wasn't a fan when he was here, but you said, well, I'm not going to say it to his face because I never saw him face to face, but
great.
He knows I didn't like him.
Okay.
I mean,
that's fair. And then, obviously, you know, Tennessee, they're 2-0, win's a win, but now our bet is on the line this weekend because they got to go to Florida. They go to the Swamp.
Yep.
I still think they're going to beat Florida.
I don't. Straight up.
Because I do buy a little bit of the looking ahead. And whether they were or they weren't, Josh Heupel's going to use that as a coaching tool this week.
And Florida's going to use the fact that they can beat Tennessee, quiet the fan base, everybody's happy for right now, can turn that season around even after only three games. And it's going to be brought up all week, the players, you know, Tennessee hasn't won here in 20 years, and they'll say, well, you know, we weren't even born then and all that. And I get all that stuff, but Florida's got a chance. Florida's got a great chance to turn early season around with a win over Tennessee. And I think they get it done on Saturday. Next week we'll go to someplace in Donaldson Hermitage, a lunch on Mr. Chase McCabe.
The matchup predictor on ESPN.com, 53.8% picking Tennessee, 46.2% with Florida.
Okay.
So
I'm not far off.
I guess
not. As crazy as you thought I was.
Well, you're crazy.
I get that.
Yeah.
But it'll be – what time's that game? That's a 6 p.m. game, right? On ESPN. I think that's correct. I think I'm right on that, Chase.
6 p.m., yes. I'm trying to figure out what this tweet is from Addie's Daddy. Yes, please hold your comments on Playmaker. I would hate to see a pair of scissors hanging from your cheek. I don't know what that means. I have no idea what that means.
Who's the Playmaker? Michael Irvin?
I guess. Oh, yeah, I guess that's what it is. Yeah, okay.
What's the rest of it mean?
I have no idea. I'm just reading the tweet. We'll talk to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. He will join us next. Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Coming up now, we talk to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. Hut, it was not pretty for the Titans yesterday. They lose 16-15, three interceptions by Ryan Tannehill. How you doing?
Gentlemen, good morning. Hope everything's going well. Joe, the glasses look perfect, as always.
Thank you. I'm blind as a bat, but thank you.
By the way, go Big Blue. I was watching the Missouri game. I thought we were going to pull it out. Back-to-back SEC opponents, not ideal.
No, yeah, you're right. You're basically in the SEC West playing those games. But that pass interference call late in the game was it's a bad call. I'll tell you right now, bad call.
Yeah. Chase, bad play by Ryan Tannehill. You mentioned the three picks. And, you know, the three turnovers, the block punt, directionless offense. It was quite the start for the Tennessee Titans. All of a sudden, it felt like 2022.
It did, and that's what concerns me. And, look, there were some things – there were some play calls from Tim Kelly that I liked. That you know, if Tannehill gets the ball to Chigakonkwo on the flea flicker, you know that trickery that they did, that's six. But he didn't get it to him, and it felt like the arm strength wasn't where it needed to be. The decision making certainly wasn't where it needed to be, and I get that the protection probably factored in to some of that. But there were times, Hutton, where I just felt like he was seeing ghosts.
You know, I thought the offensive line was pretty good based on my expectations going in. I really did. You mentioned seeing ghosts. Like, this goes back to, and I don't wave the flag for preseason play. Kenny Pickett played like five or six quarters with the first team offense, and the Steelers offense was all the rage in the preseason. We saw what happened yesterday against San Francisco. It cuts both ways there. But if you don't play in live action for 11 months, I understand the argument that says, hey, you go out there and take some live bullets, and you can't expect to be at your best if you're not training that way going in. Look, here beyond Tannehill, though, this was just the offense in general. And this is par for the course underneath Mike Vrabel over the last 4 years in week one. No rhythm. Nothing was comfortable. The operation is a mess. We talk about getting things fixed post-game, just like they need to get fixed this offseason. They can't put the ball in the end zone. And again, it felt like last season. I mentioned par for the course in week one. 64 combined points now in the last four season openers after yesterday's measly 15. There was no speed, no explosion. And while they targeted DeAndre Hopkins 13 times, Burks and Okonkwo are mostly invisible. Tannehill, you guys have been through this during the show. He's a mess. And despite Derrick Henry accounting for 107 yards of offense in the first half, he has five carries after halftime. He had 17 touches on the 28 plays where he was on the field. And in the end, it's just one loss, but that is a pattern that seems to have returned from last season. Field goals only, and at least they got the Nick Folk signing or trade correct, because if not for him, if not for his NFL range, I mean, he's hitting a 50-yarder. If not for his NFL range, they don't even come close to having a decision to make on whether or not to go for it on fourth or kick the field goal. And in the end, Vrabel knew he's going to have two possessions to get 6 points, not one possession to get seven.
Your thoughts on that? Chase and I discussed that in the first hour, Hutton, about the fourth and sixth at the 11-yard line. You got four timeouts. There's 2:17 left in the game. If you don't get it, you got the Saints at the 11-yard line, and the defense that you love so much has the Saints backed up. They're probably not going to throw a deep ball like Carr did when they got the ball back. The decision right there is one that just – I'm just scratching my head. Just go for it. Just do it and put your defense on the field. You got the four timeouts. I was just like, why are we kicking a field goal here?
Yeah, I mean, Joe, in the moment, I'm probably making the same call that Vrabel did. I didn't think that offense was going to score. And if you go for it and miss, you're betting on the fact that the defense is going to get the ball back, which is to me, that's the bet. And I would make that bet. The defense has been great. And not only that, but you're going to go down and get a touchdown. This team isn't going to score a touchdown yesterday. That's the issue. You know, they had back-to-back possessions, an extra possession at that to begin the game. They go down and get three. They drive to the New Orleans, 10-yard line, 11-yard line, some 15-yard line, and they have first down and 10 from the 15, and they end up with another 3 points after they get Henry going on that drive. They're not giving the ball to Derrick Henry, so and all they're doing is throwing to DeAndre Hopkins. I kick the field goal, try to get the ball back, and try to win on a 50-yarder. He had more faith in that than actually getting across the goal line. And again, in the moment yesterday as I'm watching this game, I make the same call because the defense is elite and the offense settles. And they've been settling for far too often, far beyond week one.
I agree. Why do we not see Derrick Henry run the ball 30 times a game? And don't give me the, well, we want to save him for later in the season. If you're 1-7, nobody cares. Look, back in the day, Hutton, you knew that with Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, you know those guys would get the football anyway. You know Derrick Henry's going to get the ball. Why not give him the football?
Put the ball in his hands. Look, and let me – Chase is right, though. Like, Kelly drew the plays that we saw. We're not talking about Henry not getting the ball. If Ryan Tannehill floats a pass to Chigakonkwo or floats the pass to Tajay Spears and just puts the ball where he can adjust to it inbounds, it's different after that. It's mind-numbing, though, to think that what was working in the first half, where Tannehill, I think, completed all of 5 passes in the first half, that right. You come back out after that and attempt 20 passes. That was their plan. Their plan was to use Spears. If you're going to use him that much, put the ball in his hands more. He had 4 touches on 33 snaps. And I don't remember the last time Derrick Henry was healthy and Henry didn't lead not only his position, but the skill positions in snaps on the field. He didn't even lead in snaps on the field at running back. So that to me is the biggest, like, okay, where are we going with this? And maybe it's not a panic button moment, and it's week one, and I'm not trying to overreact when I say this, though. That is a massive moment if we continue to see that trend because, again, they're putting a back on the field that was a situation where they're throwing the football. They faced a lot of second and third and long. They had some penalties and operation issues early, but they were still giving the football to Derrick Henry early, and they got away from that in the second half, albeit – with some plays that were open for Tannehill to make, and they missed their layups. Not only did they miss the explosive plays that they should have had were layups, and the longest play of the game was the screen to Henry, and the two that were also over 20 yards were to Nick Westbrook-Ikhine.
Jonathan Hutton is with us from OutKick. And look, Mike Vrabel said it in his press conference when he was asked about it, that he's not blaming the incomplete pass, missed fumble, you know, on why they lost the game. But he did talk about the inconsistency of it, that this week it's an incomplete pass, next week it's a fumble. We know the Dobbs play that happened. And I don't necessarily know a good solution other than you have somebody in New York that can overrule a whistle, because that's basically what it was,
Chase,
they blew the whistle.
I understand what he's saying. I understand about the call. It's the same play. Same play.
Sure.
Score 17 points in a game. You have that call going against you. You're allowed to score more than 16 points in a game. That's where I stand on this. That we missed 2 touchdowns. You have 2 possessions early where you get the fumble and the kickoff and you end up with 6 points. You settle for a field goal trying to get the ball back to go win it on a field goal. Score 17 points and allow your offense to have an expectation of scoring touchdowns. I'm doing that tongue-in-cheek. That play should have been 7 points. It wouldn't have been anyway if they get the ball. But you don't allow New Orleans with 3. And their defense doesn't allow those calls to go against them and make excuses. The defense steps up and saves the offense time and time again. They made New Orleans a field goal offense too. So it's a storyline of the game that they missed that call. They blew the play dead first and foremost, and that it was a fumble just like Joshua Dobbs' pass attempt was a fumble. And they didn't call that. They didn't call it yesterday the same way. But beyond that, pick up the pace on offense, and meaning on the scoreboard, and instead of pointing to all these other things that need to be corrected. It's a skipping record. While the seasons are not the same from last year to this year with the new coordinator, new personnel, healthy versus not. I'm looking at the scoreboard and I see 15 points. And despite that call, New Orleans is held to 16 and the Titans somehow lost that game.
All right, John, let's play the hypothetical question because Chase and I are your hypothetical 2-hour sports talk
Absolutely.
Show. Absolutely. So Titans go over to London. Say they come back, they're 1-4. Tannehill looks terrible. At some point, you make a switch with quarterbacks. Do you put it all on Levis or do you give Willis? If you're 1-4, 0-5, even that, and you're looking terrible and you're going to bench Tannehill, which quarterback does Jonathan Hutton put in the game?
Both. I mean, which game plan are we going with? Can you imagine Willis coming in and running the game plan from yesterday? I can't.
No.
That's a Levis game plan. Meanwhile, the first half with Henry and I don't know. And Joe, I think Levis to me needs to be the guy. I say needs to be because I just didn't see it. We didn't see anything from Willis last year. But at the same point, he has improved to the point where everyone agrees he's the backup right now. Levis needs work. So does Willis. Right now, so does Ryan Tannehill and the Tennessee Titans offense. The hypothetical game there, I would say Levis. But again, it's not if you lose, it's how you lose. And what you're playing with. Is Henry your bell cow? Is he not? That would be the turning point of whenever they decide that they're 1 foot in, 1 foot out. That would go against their offseason of signing Hopkins, but not against what they did in the draft. I would just be scratching my head on that because they bring back Ryan Tannehill for a reason, and I don't think it was to, throw as many pass attempts as they did without turning around and giving the football to 22. Hypothetically, though, in any situation like that, Joe, they're playing for the draft, not the postseason.
Mm. Yep, and it'll be interesting to see if that's where it is, because this team could very well – that could be the scenario, 0-4,
this
to
is
start.
And I'll be brief here, Chase, because you're the boss and I know the time. this is a very intriguing Week 2 matchup now, yep, because Staley out west is feeding a little heat. Their defense just got decimated through the air with Tua and Hill and the entire crew. But it's also a defense that gave up a ton of yards on the ground. And the Titans really didn't want to run it yesterday on the ground against the Saints D in the first half that I thought was allowing Henry to get his yards through the air and on the ground. So this is a Derrick Henry and Hopkins game, but it's also got to be Burks and Okonkwo. And Tannehill threw more passes to the Saints defensive backs than he did to Burks and Okonkwo combined in completions. One's 0-2, one's 1-1, and it's two teams with the Chargers with their futures on the field. And in the Titans' case, their future is either on the sideline or not getting the ball in the second half yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be interesting to see for sure. Appreciate this as always. Not sure what that noise is. We're at a golf course.
But at pizza, I'm sorry.
but appreciate it as always, Hutt, and we'll be listening today.
Is that a birdie or a bogey that I heard there, Joe?
I don't know.
I think it's an air compressor.
It sounds like a pokey. Oh.
There we go.
Hey, have a great week, guys, and always enjoy this on, especially the day after a game.
Absolutely. Thanks. Jonathan Hutton from OutKick, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2-5 on 94.9 The Fan. We'll come back, put a bow on things next, including celebrity birthdays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Joe, live today, Vanderbilt Legends Club, Brent Peterson's Golf Tournament, Predators Foundation, Petey's for Parkinson, Chase McKay, Big Joe Dubin having fun, and appreciate Jonathan Hutton for joining us. A lot of interaction today. Real quick, a couple of more texts on the Titans. Ron says the Chargers have had the Titans' numbers over the past few years they've played. They have. I mean, that's why I think this is such a critical one, because Hutton pointed it out. Staley is, I think, coaching for his job. I don't think Vrabel's at that point, but you're playing for the season. Going down 0-2 to start the season, as you mentioned, is not ideal. And this team, what I saw yesterday, and whether it's an overreaction or it turns out to be truth, the possibility of going 0-4 or 1-4, what have you, that is very, very real right now. So that's why this game is so important to the Titans. And Josh had to point out, just a reminder, it's September, and the Titans haven't won a game since November of last year.
Ouch. The eight straight they've lost? Is that
eight
what it
straight.
Is?
Eight straight, yep.
All right, it's time for America's favorite game. You all know what it is, celebrity birthdays. Dr. Crane and Chase will battle out today. And, Chase, you've been on a – you're like 0-3-1.
Yeah, I'm in there.
Okay, Dr. Crane, you ready?
Let's do this thing.
All right, as always, we'll default to the old man.
I won Friday.
Yeah, he won Friday.
Oh, did he?
He did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was busy. Obviously not taking notes. Okay. Glad you guys got good memories. I don't. All right, so you're 1-2-1.
Yeah.
All right. You're like – You like that?
It's my hockey record.
Yeah, it's your hockey record. All right, our first birthday up today. All right, Chase, how old is Moby? How old is the singer Moby?
Hmm.
Who's looked 75 since the day he broke on the scene.
Yeah. I'm going to say 58.
We're going to go 81.
He is 58.
Oh, boy. Just switch those numbers around real quick.
Shut up, Dr. Cray. All right, there we go. Next up is the adorable Harry Connick Jr. How old is Harry Connick Jr.? A big Saints fan?
The first time we hung out, Joe, you took me to a Harry Connick Jr. concert.
I did. It was great. The Ryman. And you cried like a baby. It's okay.
I did. You brought tissues, though, so it was nice. 52.
I'm going to go 49.
He is 56 years old today.
Okay.
Harry Connick Jr. Who do we have here? I don't know who that person is. I just don't know. Ludacris. How old's Ludacris?
Luda. 44.
47.
46, Dr. Crane.
Oh, nice.
If you get a chance, Ludacris played Georgia's spring football game a few years ago. Google what he wanted in the dressing room. It is it is something else. All right, next up is, actor Earl Holliman. He was in one of the first episodes of Twilight Zone. He was the boss with Angie Dickinson on her show back in the 70s. Earl Holliman.
Earl Holliman, 91.
I'm going to go 97.
95. Good job, boys. Comedian Tom Dreesen, who was Frank Sinatra's favorite comedian. Hint, hint, wink, wink.
95.
So he's still alive. I'm gonna go.
All these are still alive as of 10:50.
I'm gonna go 92.
84. Mm. Not bad. Movie director Brian De Palma.
Can you give me a movie? What he directed?
Which movie?
Yeah, like, can you give me an example?
What did he do? Did he do Scarface? Maybe? I don't know. You put me on the spot, Chase. I don't like that.
79.
I'm going to go 82.
83.
Nice.
Good job, Dr. Crane. Actress Lola Falana. You've heard of her?
Sure. 42.
47.
81. Yeah, you guys are good.
God, that plastic surgery, man. It does wonders.
It does wonders.
Actress Amy Madigan. She's married to Ed Harris. How old is Amy Madigan today? She was in Kevin Costner's wife in Field of Dreams.
67.
I was going to say 66. I'm going to go 72.
73.
Jeez.
Dr. Crane pounded 3-1.
I feel like the Titans O-line.
Tommy Shaw of Sticks.
Ooh,
how old is Tommy Shaw today?
73.
77?
70. Chaser, you've had two on the outside looking in, man. Doesn't count for us. What goes on there? Let's see who else we got here that we've – oh, actress Christy McNichol, the popular show Family back in the late 70s, 80s. Christy McNichol.
74.
86.
61. Good Lord, y'all. Mm. All over the board. All right, the singer for Lady A, he's the tall guy with the beard, Charles Kelly. How old is he?
Charles Kelly is 43.
Yeah, that was the number I was going to take. I'm going to go 47.
He's 42.
Finally.
3-2, Dr. Crane.
Yikers.
We got some coming up here. Maybe we could hold off here and see if we recognize any of these names of people that we've never heard of. Hold on. We got one to come up here. Let's see. Never heard of any of them. Paul Heyman.
Oh.
Wrestling manager. Now, Chase, this is the last one. You got to get this to tie.
All right.
Paul Heyman, wrestling manager. Do you have a nickname?
Paul E. Dangerously.
Okay.
The wise man. Let's see. Paul is 62.
Dr. Crane?
I'm going to go 78.
He's 58 today. Okay. Dr. Crane wins 3-2. Also on this day, they passed away, but Bear Bryant and Tom Landry share a birthday.
Oh, wow.
Two of the greatest coaches ever. That's your celebrity birthdays for today. America's favorite game show.
Very good. Very good stuff. Definitely felt like the Titans O-line there. The reaction will continue throughout the week. I mean, we'll hear from Mike Vrabel today at noon. Now that he's had a chance to watch the film, I don't really know if anything changes from his perspective on some stuff that he saw. But
I think that dude sleeps, isn't he?
No. Does any NFL coach? Does any college football coach?
No, I don't.
I mean, is Rick Stock still slept?
No, you're right. Yeah.
You know, I don't think any of them do. But that will do it for us today live here at Vanderbilt Legends Club. Brent Peterson's golf tournament, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace coming up next. They'll have full reaction to the Titans' 16-15 loss to the Saints yesterday. We're back at it tomorrow, 9 o'clock, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.